Well, this morning, as we have the privilege to open our Bibles together, it's certainly my privilege to stand in this place while Pastor Jeff and Pastor Dan have some time with their families this weekend, and we're certainly glad that they are able to have a break. I want to say this to all of you, and I know that you know this, but I highly regard these men. It's certainly been a privilege for me to work with these men for 11 years and to see their sincere, faithful stand that they take on the Word of God and how they proclaim it. And so we are grateful. We're grateful as a people. And I just wanted to remind you that as sometimes we take this for granted, but that we would take the time in our daily lives and pray for these two men, because we are certainly blessed. We are blessed far above many preachers or many churches that have don't necessarily have the opportunity that we have. And so I just want to remind you to pray for them. It's also a great privilege for me to be able to minister the Word of God to you this morning. And I want us to reflect on God's Word this morning in Psalm 90. So if you would turn your Bibles to the 90th Psalm. As some of you know, this is the oldest Psalm that we have recorded for us in the collection of the Psalter that is given to us. And as I read, I want you to see in this Psalm this morning why we must number our days and why it's important to have a heart of wisdom and why we need to live our lives with a perspective or an attitude of eternity on our minds. And so follow along with me as I read this short psalm together. Beginning then in verse 1, Moses writes, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or You gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn man back into dust and say, 'Return, O children of men.' For 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood, and they fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. And in the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and it withers away. For we have been consumed by Your anger, and Your wrath, we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before You, our secret sins in the light of Your presence. For all our days have declined in Your fury, and we have finished our years like a sigh. And as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or, if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of Your anger and Your fury, according to the fear that is due You? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to You a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for Your servants. O, satisfy us in the morning with Your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days that You have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. And let Your work appear to Your servants, and Your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands." Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Let's pray together as we begin. Our Father and our God, we are thankful to you for your eternal word and the fact that we have it so available to us. Thank you that you are our eternal dwelling place and that you have been our dwelling place and those that have gone before us in all generations. You are eternal God from everlasting to everlasting. And we are but dust. We're like the grass of the field that springs up in the summer and it fades in the fall. Our time on this earth is short, but to you, 1,000 years is like a day. We have been consumed by your anger, and we have disobeyed you, and we've sinned against a holy God. And all our sins are before you constantly, including our secret sins. We've angered you, and we've sinned against your holiness. Forgive us. Forgive us, Father, of our sins. Forgive me of my sins. Teach us to number our days and give us a heart of wisdom that our every thought would be directed by you and it would be for your glory. Show mercy to your people and your loving kindness. Lord, teach us these truths from your holy word this morning and establish the works of our hands that we would be as your people, that we would walk worthy before you. And Lord, we do pray for for this situation with the coronavirus. Lord, that there would be a vaccine for it soon, and that these things would be days of the past, and that we would be able to go on forward with our gathering, being able to gather together again as brothers and sisters, as we have in the past. So we yearn for this, Lord. So we pray that you would bring this about for us. And help us now, by your Spirit, to worship you. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this weekend, as our country celebrates Memorial Day, we celebrate it as a time to remember the ultimate sacrifices that men have given their own lives, men and women, for the freedom that we have, and so we should do. Statistics tell us that there are well over 1.2 million people, men and women, who have sacrificed their lives in the duration of this country and all the wars that we've been involved in. And I just put those figures into what it would look like if we put all those men and women in Target Field, in the stadium. And we could do that 30 times. That's how many men and women have lost their lives for this country. We've seen now in the past days, and I believe, I don't know what the growing number is, but the number is well over 300,000 people who have died somehow in connection with coronavirus. And as I've been praying about what the Holy Spirit of God would have me to speak on to you this morning, I found that like God would only do, He laid on my heart something that I think I maybe need more than you do. And so He's led me to speak on this psalm. This psalm is of most importance really to all of us. Whether you are a young person still in the single digits of years, or whether you are a teenager, or you're going to college, you're out of college, you're midlife, or you're past that stage even, or maybe even as old as I am, we need this psalm. This psalm is of most importance to all of us. Because our lives are short, and we are like a vapor, and we need to know it, and we need to realize it. And so we need to have a heart of wisdom, and we need to apply it because of the shortness of that time. The psalmist David writes in Psalm 139 and verse 16, he says this, he says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." God has written in his book all the days that he has given to each one of us. And we are to use that time that God has given to us wisely, redeeming the time, not wasting the time. The time that has gone is past. The time that we got up this morning at 6 o'clock till now is gone, and it will not be recovered. So we need a heart of wisdom. There's a secular song, and it kind of gives us a picture of what happens in life when we're without a heart of wisdom. And it goes like this. It says, "I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and I rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and I don't know why." Someone has said this, "What you do with your time, you do with your life." And so in order for us to manage our time well, we must know our purpose. Why did God create me? What am I here for? What is my purpose in life? What's God's purpose for you and for me? Well, the Apostle Paul answers this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31 when he tells us, he says that whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our purpose is to glorify God. That's why we're here, when we dare not waste our time. Our purpose is to be faithful to the one who has given us life. So in Psalm 90, there in your Bibles, you'll see that this psalm was written by Moses. And by the way, this is the only psalm that we have that is recorded by Moses. But Moses likely wrote this psalm when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. We know that that was approximately 1460 B.C. But Moses knew how short this life was here on earth. The children of Israel should have been able to make this trip from Egypt to the Promised Land in less than 6 months. Moses knew what death was about. He was there on the night when the angel passed over in the eve of the first Passover in Egypt, and he's seen all the firstborn of that country die. Moses was there when the Red Sea was opened and the children of Israel crossed that, and Pharaoh's army was in there, and he's seen an entire army wiped out in a matter of moments. And now he was in the wilderness with the children of Israel in their wanderings for 40 years, and he's seen men die at a rate of about 70 people per day for 39 years. He held a lot of funerals. And so he knew what it was like when time was wasted. In verse 12 of this psalm, Moses prays to God and he asks him to teach them. Teach us to number our days, to give us a heart of wisdom. Because they didn't have a heart for God. The psalm should be for all of us here today an eye-opener. I don't care if this is the first time you've ever heard this, or if you've been a believer for a long time, you've maybe read this psalm time after time. Some of you are familiar with even just the verses from it. But we all need to learn to number our days. I can't tell you how important this is. We live in a land that God has blessed far more than any other land on this planet. And we can nearly have whatever we want whenever we want it. And because of that, we can become lazy. And we can say, well, it'll all work out and everything will be fine. And we can end up like they did. And they can waste our time. And we can wander in circles. Don't waste your time. And I mean that for you, and I mean it for me. Because we don't know if we have tomorrow, or if we have the next day. And so there's no time to waste. Beginning then in verse 1 of this prayer, Moses says this. He says, Lord, you. And the word here, Lord, is the word Adonai. And it means master. And this word is parallel to Yahweh. So firstly, Moses had a right perspective of who God is and who his God was to him. You'll notice that the main subject of this whole psalm is God. And I want us to notice this, that Moses begins with God. He was a man of God. He was God's man. He was chosen by God. He was inspired by God to write the first five books of the Bible. And his prayer begins with God. And as we go through this prayer, I want you to see that 21 times in these short 17 verses, Moses used the pronoun you or your, referring to God. And he says, Lord, you are our master. You're my master. And recognizing him as his dwelling place. He says, Lord, master, you are our dwelling place. God is immortal. God is eternality. You have been our dwelling place in all generations. In Moses' mind, that had to take him back to even the days of Abraham, when Abraham was called out of Haran with his family and to wander in a land where he didn't know for sure he was going. But he did that, and he was a sojourner. He probably left a pretty nice place because he left even with some servants. And he wandered through that land that God would show him. And Isaac was born in that land. And God blessed him there, and he provided for him, and he took care of him all the way. And even Jacob and his sons. And he took one of his sons, and he put him in charge in Egypt. So that when the famine came, that his family could come and be there. And they did that. And they grew up there. And they became slaves. And they were there for 400 years in slavery. And then they began to cry out to the Lord. And God heard their cry. And he used Moses to take them out from that place. And when he did that, Moses led them in the wilderness. And now he had seen these people dying at a rate of about 70 people a day. They had no city. They didn't have a house. They lived in tents. They were like vagabonds, a camp from one place to the next. They did that basically for 40 years, wasting their time. In the second verse, Moses says, he goes back even further into the eternity past. And he says, before the mountains came forth and before the earth and the world was born, you are God. Before time and space, before the angels were born, before there were planets, before there were stars. Kids, I want you to listen to this. Before anything, from everlasting to everlasting, he said, you are God. You were there and you have been our dwelling place. God never had a plan. It never had a beginning. There wasn't anything before God. You, God, were affectionate toward your people, those you have chosen, and your love is unchangeable. It's an unchangeable love. And you are from all eternity past, Almighty God, and there is no one like unto you. Even in time, 1,000 years to God is like yesterday. Or even like a 4-hour watch in the night. Moses recognized God as the most supreme, high, sovereign God. There is none like unto him. And he said, you are our God, and in you we dwell. You are everlasting. And those were Moses' thoughts about God when he began to pray. And then we come to man. Man is mortal. In verse 3, he gives the shortness of man's life in comparison to God. He says, you turn man back into dust, and you say, return, O children of dust. Job gives us a picture of man in Job chapter 14. It begins in the first verse. He says, man who is born of woman is short-lived. He's full of turmoil. And like a flower, he comes forth and withers. And he also flees like a shadow and does not remain. In verse 5, he says, and since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits you have set so that he cannot pass. God, because he is God, is over all, and he's in control of all things, and he turns man back to dust. And so Moses gives us a couple of examples of the swiftness of our lives here. Excuse me. And he says, we're like being swept away by a flood. Our days, they're like taken away like a flash flood. And I thought about this, and I think about the picture that most of us are familiar with. In 2004, it was called the Boxing Day tsunami that swept away somewhere between 230,000 and 275,000 people in a period of about 10 minutes in 14 different countries. That is what Moses saw with these people, that their lives were gone like a flash. And that is what our life is like. And that's what our lives are like. They're like a swish, and they're gone. They're like grass in the morning. Gets the dew, and it drinks it in, and it flourishes, and it sprouts, and it grows new grass. But by evening, it fades, and it withers, and then it flies away. And because of that, we need to be wise to the time, and we need to use the time wisely. Kids, hear this. Young people, don't waste your lives. We can all learn from this. God gives us only so much time here, and it is short. And so we need to plan, and we need to be aware of how, while we are here, to be mindful that we would glorify God, to honor Him and to live because our days are numbered.